Give me a definition, your definition, because you've looked at this better than anybody, of what it is.
Yeah, we define spontaneous human combustion as the phenomenon whereby a person can smoke, blister, or otherwise burn in absence of contact with a known, identifiable, nearby external ignition source or burn agent. That is, if you can demonstrate the absence of contact with a flame or caustic chemicals or radioactive material or high amperage or a nearby radiant heat source, those are the five categories that normally would be causing burn to the body. If you can eliminate those five aspects or those five areas, then we believe you have to consider spontaneous human combustion as the source for the burn injury.
As they begin to simmer, let's say, before they really burn, I mean, can they feel it within? Do they get sick? What are their symptoms?
For classic cases of spon-com, in which the body is reduced almost wholly to powder, you know, there's no way that we could find an answer to that. But because we have identified people who experienced partial spontaneous human combustion and lived to tell the amazing tale, we can provide you some answers based on their testimony to us. And that is, quite often the individual will feel a low heat beginning to emanate, oftentimes in the lower part of the back or upper shoulder perhaps. Others tell us that it feels like the part of the body that is going to smoke or blister has a tingling sensation to it beforehand, much as they liken it to the feeling you get when you would have blood circulation cut off from your forearm, for example.
Have you ever had what is called a niacin flush? That's you take these supplements, and all of a sudden, it's somewhat healthy. You really begin to flush. You get hot from within. Your face gets red, but it's your body. It's doing something, you know, when you take niacin and you're not used to it.
Right. What the symptoms that are defined to us and described to us were very much parallel a niacin flush experience. Or for the women in your audience, many of whom would well know about this, you get the menopausal flash.
That's amazing stuff. This is just, I'm trying to picture this, where out of nowhere something happens. Now, have we found similarities between people that this has happened to? Emotionally or otherwise?
We wish we could provide an easy answer to that. It would certainly make trying to understand and theorize what happens within the human body under these amazing, fearful, frightening circumstances more easily understood. Other than that, all the victims, of course, are humans. We found no common factor, however, in our research over 35 years of this phenomenon.
Well, that's interesting. You just said they're humans. So do we have any knowledge that animals have you know, combusted this way?
Actually, we do.
And what kind?
Pets, cats, dogs, livestock, sheep, for example. We found reports, not many, but reports of animals bursting into balls of blue light and suddenly, you know, exhibiting various types of flaming phenomena. The naturalist Ivan Sanderson, who took an interest in spontaneous human combustion, in one of his books detailed a walk in the woods that he was taking one day, and he came across an opossum that he found to be half incinerated. And this completely mystified him. He concluded that as a naturalist, this opossum must have experienced spontaneous animal combustion because he could find no evidence, no reason out there in the deep woods, where he apparently was the first person to step in quite some time, why this possum would have been half burned so completely as he found it to be.
And at this point, still no common denominator then?
Again, not as we've been able to identify one. It was once claimed by the physicians in Europe in the 17 and early 1800s when they were giving credence to this phenomenon before it became so readily dismissed, that all victims were female. They were all corpulent, overweight, alcoholics. And if the German scientists were writing about it, they claimed that only victims lived in France. The French physicians were claiming that only victims lived in Germany. Humorous, nationalistic trait to this phenomenon. But in our research, we found all those criteria can no longer be applied to the subject of spontaneous human combustion. By gender, our database is several hundred cases. 50% of them are female, 47% are male. Unfortunately, history just doesn't tell us what the other 3% are, but pretty much, you know, 50-50 down the middle for, in terms of gender.
And of the gender, children?
Children also, yeah. In the age range, most of the victims are elderly, and that's not surprising to us because the human physiology tends to break down with chronological experience. But the youngest in our database is a six-week-old toddler. We have children in their, you know, four, five, six age range. And at the other extreme, the oldest in our database is a Hindu holy man who was said to be 114 years of age when he incinerated before a group of students in India back in 1970.
Did he do it at will?
We personally believe that he willed the chemistry or the bioelectricity or the prana or the ki within his body to, yes, self-immolate.
I would guess, too, Larry, that if this happens, somebody gets a call from a house saying, oh, my God, my neighbor has just burned to death, fire departments arrive, they probably assume initially smoking in bed or something, I would assume.
It's a good assumption, and it would be a reasonable one. You know, we've been taught in our studies of fire behavior in general that every fire is unique. But obviously most fires have generalized patterns, and most of them with due diligence and investigation, the investigators, the arson inspectors will come up with a set of conditions that allow them to arrive at a determination of the fire within certain fairly well-defined parameters. And certainly smoking in bed, the dropped cigarette, the carelessly tossed aside match is most often invoked initially to explain these cases.
Let's talk a little bit about your interest in this. How did this all happen?
Our introduction to the phenomenon began when we were in 7th or 8th grade. We purchased a 35-cent paperback by Frank Edwards called Stranger Than Science.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Paperman. You know, probably a lot of the listeners to Coast got their introduction to Fortiana with one of Frank Edwards' books.
Yeah.
In one of his paperbacks, he had a chapter about the Cinder Woman, which is a euphemism for Mary Hardy Reeser, and what happened to her in St. Petersburg in 1951. And we were just astonished by this, you know. And as our interest in various types of subjects that are well known to the Coast audience, we discovered over the years as we went through high school and into college that lots of people were trying to track down Bigfoot and UFOs was a hot topic.
This was even hotter.
This was hotter. And nobody seemed to be taking any serious interest in it. So when we left our engineering courses at Lafayette College in the late 60s, we decided to spend some time down at the Library of Congress to see if Frank Edwards had written a true story about Mary Hardy Reeser or whether he, you know, made it up and passed it off as fact when, in fact, it would be fiction. Went down to the Library of Congress, pulled up some microfilm for the St. Petersburg Times and the Tampa Tribune, went back to July of 1951, and lo and behold, the death of Mary Reeser was a front-page story.
Hmm.
So Frank Edwards didn't make it up. He was doing what a newspaper man does when a newspaper man used to do good journalism. He was reporting facts and finding mystery within those facts as it pertained to Mary Reeser. So that got us interested, and we did some more digging at the Library of Congress to see what else we might be able to find down there at that amazing library. And a couple index cards and a couple footnotes led us to some more sources, and pretty soon we were amassing a fair amount of material on spontaneous human combustion that we didn't know about.